Hello, Fuji lovers. Tomasz here, and I am back with another episode of the Fuji Love podcast, which, needless to say, is brought to you by the Fuji Love magazine. Today, I am bringing you an extremely interesting conversation with the Vancouver-based Fujifilm photographer Olaf Staba. If you are not familiar with Olaf's work yet, make sure to check him out after listening to this interview. I am sure our conversation will make you want to explore his photography. Have a great listen.
This is Fuji Love, a podcast for Fujifilm X users from around the globe. Thank you for tuning in.
Welcome, Olaf. It's a very, very special, you know, episode of this podcast for me, because not only, you know, you come from Poland, where I also originally come from, and we are both now living abroad in different places of the world. But also as a Polish guy, as a photographer, I also really admire, I really love your work, what you are doing. You are also using Fujifilm cameras. So it's a very nice combination, I would say. So welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Tomasz, for having me. It's great to be here.
You know, I had this idea for today's podcast, because I don't like really preparing for those podcasts, like, you know, scripting them. I think it's much more interesting when people just talk, you know, and then things come and happen naturally. So you know, I just had this idea that I will conduct, so to speak, this interview like I would not know anything about you, you know. I think it's a very, very similar thing to many of our listeners. Of course, people in the Fuji X community and Fuji Love community already know you. We can see your photos on a regular basis. But could you just tell, you know, in a few sentences, like to those who you know, are listening to you for the first time, where are you from? How did it all start for you with photography? And where are you today?
Well, I'm a Vancouver-based photographer, a writer and blogger. I'm fascinated by people and visuals. And my visual interest are based on two key areas, and I call them on the street and on the road. Mm-hmm. On the street, because I'm fascinated by urban spaces and people and the vibes of the city. And I always find that together with light, they offer such a rich mix of emotions and visuals. Although I have to admit, Tomasz, with you, that I'm not a big fan of the word street, because mm-hmm. it applies something that is just right in front of your eyes. It's almost in your face. And for me, street is so much more than that. Mm-hmm. And the second area that that I'm interested is, I call it on the road. And it's a very similar concept, but it concerns travel photography. And the reason I call it on the road, not travel photography, because, you know, travel very often is associated with these touristy, beautiful locations when everyone wants to go and photograph. And I'm more interested in kind of less traveled, forgotten, and the places when I show up in the morning and I photograph and I don't see anybody. So these are my two areas of interest. And I have been interested in photography almost all my life. In fact, on my website, you can see me as a 7-8-year-old kid standing with a camera.
Exactly. I just wanted to mention it, because I was visiting your website a couple of times. There is this photo. You are this little boy with some kind of a plasticky camera, right?
Well, that's correct. And in fact, like I found more photos like this. And sometimes I was running around with this plastic cameras that didn't even work. I was just pretending that I'm a photographer. So, because of course my family was very nice to me, so everybody pretended they are photographed. So, so we had such a great time. So, even though photography as a kind of full-time profession entered much later in my life, I was always in the orbit of visuals and photography and just observation.
Mm-hmm. And so today you are living in Vancouver, Canada, right?
Yes, I do. Yes.
Originally you come from Poland, so I can imagine. I mean, I know Poland. I have been now, I think it's almost 18 years. I have been abroad myself, living abroad. So your set of visuals around you, I can imagine, because I can imagine where you come from in Poland and Vancouver, and especially the Canada's, you know, open spaces and vistas. It's a different set of visuals. So did your photography drastically change, or your vision, you know, shifted when you moved to Canada from, I don't know if you moved directly from Poland?
Yes, that's correct. It's a very good question. I would say that, as I mentioned earlier, I was always kind of in the orbit of photography and visuals. But actually, the whole move to Canada really triggered, you know, the craft of photography as a something very serious. And first, when I came to Canada about 15 years ago, it was exactly what you just said, is this big, grand visuals, and it was so exotic and amazing. And I remember when I drove through Canadian Rockies first time, how the majestic of these mountains was something that really stunned me, and I really want to photograph that. That's how my visual interest started, and I actually bought a serious camera, if you can call $500 back then a serious camera. But for me, it was a big step. So That's exactly how I started. And then over the years, including with my kind of personal drama, this all came together and pushed me into photography and a photographer as I am today.
Mm-hmm. So those, you know, how you said, majestic, you know, views and landscape, yeah, and the open spaces. I'm just trying to figure out, because, like as you say, you are also often on the streets, yeah, photographing in urban environment. Which of those environments, you know, is a stronger magnet for you these days today?
You know, like recently I have been doing more and more street photography, but I think they are on equal footings. You know, like even though I really love these open spaces of Canada and North America in general, I found them actually very similar in the concept, in the sense, because the same way you walk around the street with your camera and try to observe and connect with things around you and capture them, it's exactly the same way when I jump into my car and we hit the road and we just drive to look for visuals. It's here you walk, you look for visuals, the same way when you travel by car. And most of my travels are by car, because as I mentioned earlier, I really always looking for something that hasn't been photographed before. Something like really different. And I could spend all day driving just to get to a location that is remote and just to take three images and go back. So I'm really committed to kind of discover Canada and North America, but kind of away from this very popular touristy landscape spots like Yosemite or all other popular spots. So going back to your question, you know, I found street, it's much more intense, but the concept is very similar. You still need very intense observation. You still need connection, some kind of connection with the place. You still need to work on your composition, on this mechanics of seeing. So right now it's almost on the same footing. I'm always looking for something different.
Mm-hmm. It's very interesting for me, you know, this topic exactly here, because and I'm repeating myself, I was you know, I'm treating the photographers on the podcast as my own, you know, kind of psychologist or something, because I am struggling with the concept, or I am also analyzing myself, you know. I photograph on the streets, but also I like to, you know, go into the woods where there's nobody in the streets, there is complete silence, and I'm asking myself, and I want to ask you also, if you treat all of your photography as a, you know, as one thing, because it's something you are suggesting, right? Or you kind of, or are you pursuing, you know, different genres, or rather, you know, treating it as one entity?
Well, I think I would say that you know, these two kind of broad interests, like travel on the road and on the street, I view it as one. And the reason is that over the years I have been doing photography, I always decided I don't want to stand still. I don't want to be known as, let's say, oh, I'm a portrait photographer or I'm a street photographer. And the reason for that, because it's very easy to stop experimenting, exploring, and taking risks. And I always said to myself, Olaf, when you reach the point when you say, oh, you know, I'm such a good photographer, people love me, everybody likes my work, that's the worst thing that can happen to me. Because right. Then uh-huh. I will start photographing and try to repeat the same kind of visions. And I always say, I always wanted to push myself, because I always think that I photograph for myself. I don't do it whether, you know, people like it or not. I always try to, it's almost like a therapy. And mm-hmm, I think mm-hmm. In my view, that's the only honest approach to photography. Because, you know, like you, Tomasz, probably observe, you did such a great job with Fujilove. You know, sometimes you have a formula. I can drive to Canadian Rockies. I can give you 5 spots when I will stand with a beautiful sunrise. I will shoot this photo and I will get like 500 likes immediately, you know? But right. But that's not what I'm aiming for. I could get just one like from somebody, but if I feel very strongly, if I'm very happy with my visuals, I feel this photo, you know, like triggers some kind of mechanism when people start asking questions. Because over the years, as I photograph, I notice that once I see image, if it could be really beautiful place, beautiful image, and I have this few seconds when I think, oh, so beautiful, but that's it, you know? Mm-hmm. You just move on. You know, mm-hmm. you like it, you move on. What I'm really aiming in the last few years with my photography, if somebody look at my image and it almost stopped him in the tracks, and he mm-hmm. start thinking, okay, what is it? What do you try to say? You know, and try to almost go through the process of try to almost decompose this image. Mm-hmm. A person mm-hmm. pauses and thinks and try to absorb what I try to say. I really try to avoid images that are in your face, you know, like, okay,
right. mm-hmm.
it's beautiful, pretty. Okay, let's move on to the next one. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. that's my kind of starting point.
What is it, Olaf, that you are trying to say with your photos? Is there some, you know, ongoing thread?
Well, I think for me, number one thing in my photos are visuals. And I don't really... it doesn't have to be like profound subject. Mm-hmm. But for me, what is important is, you know, the starting point for me is always observation, you know? And whether I photograph on the street or I'm traveling by car, I always try to find whether it's very special light, whether is kind of a subject, composition, or combination of all of it. I want to put image out there that nobody has ever taken before, and the image that would trigger interest. And for me, photography is a process of kind of a self-discovery and risk-taking. So what I always try to do is take an image when people would be like really interested to almost like uncode, you know, like is it? What is this a thing? Is this the person? You know, so
right. I have the feeling we are functioning on a very, very similar level, because usually what triggers my interest when makes me actually take the picture is not necessarily some kind of undergoing message or, you know, something very, like you said, profound. It's basically strictly a juxtaposition of elements in the frame.
Exactly.
Which kind of produce some kind of attention, right?
Yes.
Or harmony, depends on how you're looking at it, these things. And but sometimes I am questioning myself. When I look back at my images, I don't know if you are going through the same thing. That, and sometimes I'm questioning myself, what are you trying to say, Tomasz, right? Is there anything, you know, significantly important to those images?
Tomasz, yeah, go ahead.
No, go ahead. So I was wondering if you are going through to the same doubts.
You know what? That is such an excellent question. And I think, especially for people that start in photography, this is such a difficult subject because I think all the best photographers that I admire, I talk to, they almost view those doubts, those periods of struggle, as a part of photography, you know? Mm-hmm. So when some people may think, I'm not a good photographer, I don't know what to do with myself. And for me, this is exactly what photography is. That's how you create art. That's how you create visuals. There is I call it visual blindness, you know? And as unpleasant as it may be, it's so important part of being a photographer. You know, unfortunately in our society, you know, very often failure is linked with weakness. And most of us are trying to fight it, ignore it, or even like pretend it doesn't happen. But I, as a photographer, I very often accept this. And in fact, recently I learned to kind of embrace this state of mind, you know? And, you know, if I take my camera, I go on the street, on the road, and I struggle, I take this struggle and I turn it into risk-taking. So basically, I just start taking images I have never took before. And of course, you know, there is this backbone always there, like composition, like light, you know, because for me, visuals must be strong. I cannot just photograph and just forget about these elements. They are, for me, the most important elements in photography. But inspiration-wise, I will take my struggles and I will just run with it. And in fact, what I noticed when I went through my, almost every 2-3 months, I go through my library and try to kind of think where I am. And what I noticed that time following these periods of struggles, I do really great photography.
Yeah, the things we are talking about now, this is just wonderful. I mean, I'm amazed because it's actually the very, very first time somebody's so openly talking about the things which exactly, for me, it's nothing to be ashamed of. And like, you just basically described the way I feel so often or almost every day.
Yes.
You know, so it's wonderful. I mean, like I'm out, you know, of my chair here.
No, I think photography as a, you know, of course we all love gear, we all love cameras, and let's be honest about it. But photography, like Well, I recently started teaching photography, and very often I have a young photographer, and you have this impression that photography is all about picking the right settings and the right camera. And in fact, this is the last thing you do. You know, photography is all about you as a person, about exploring yourself, but exploring yourself not from the point of view, you know, oh, I want to be this great photographer. No, it's exploring all your good sides, your bad sides, all your emotions, turmoil, and using this to see the world around you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, couldn't be more true. Let's digress here. Having said that, after all those years, you know, plastic cameras and DSLRs, why Fuji? So I got you now. Why Fuji?
Okay, finally we get to important stuff.
Yeah, let's have it. It's a Fuji Love podcast. I'm sorry.
No, I'm just kidding. You know, like Thomas, let's get it up front. Like, we all love cameras and we love Fuji.
Right. But so, I think I have the feeling I can predict your answer, but go ahead.
Okay, so, well, as I mentioned earlier, for many years, you know, I have worked with Canon and Nikon gear. And, you know, I never felt really attached to these cameras. For me, there was just a tool. And, you know, if I remember correctly, in 2011, Fujifilm announced the original X100. One of my friends had this camera, and me as a rebel, kind of always trying to do something else, it immediately triggered my attention. And I was able to get hold of this camera, and for a while, I was shooting with the X100 along with my Nikon SLR. But, you know, each time I approach my cameras, my hands kind of went for the X100.
This is exactly what was happening to me. I was my last phase was in the DSLR, you know, where it was Nikon. I think the huge beast D810, as far as I remember, and next to it was the X100S, you know, and exactly the same was happening to me.
Yeah, it was almost like paranormal activity, you know. It's just and with time, what I noticed that each time I grabbed the X100, this little camera, I started taking such a visual risk, and I started to explore things that I haven't even approached with my SLR. I know it sounds really strange, but, you know, somehow there is some kind of magic in this very camera. And the X100 series, like S, T, and right now F, this is camera, yes, you can take everything away from me, but this is the camera that I need to have with me. This is the camera that somehow, you know, connects with me and the way I see the world, I operate as like no other camera. So basically that's how I started. And as you know, since then I got X Pro 1, X Pro 2, and X-T2, X-T1. So I really, really like invested in the series, the X series, big time. And this camera kind of speak to me, but especially the X100 series.
So would you say most of your images are being done with the X100 series?
That's what I would say. Yes.
And at the moment, you're using the X-T2 as well?
Well, right now, because, you know, as you know, my wife, Kasia, she's also a photographer. Mm-hmm. So right now we are working with the X100F, X-T2, and X-Pro 2.
Okay. And as the X100 series, are you using it as it is, you know, with the lens, with the 23 millimeter lens? Or are you also... Is it the angle of view which, like you say, corresponds with your vision? Is it?
Well, that's exactly right. I think this is a very important subject, and probably we could spend hours talking about this. But I, at least for me, I like to specialize or like train my eye in 1, 2, maximum 3 focal lengths, you know, like 23 is something that I have been working, for years. And basically, when I walk around the street or photograph or I travel, I spend a lot of time to pre-visualize, you know. Mm-hmm. I love observation. And it's such an intense process, and I don't need to even have my camera to my eye. I will look at things, I will compose in my head, I will evaluate, because like my eyes see in this kind of dimensions. So that's why, I kind of train my eye to this dimension. And mm-hmm. I think it really helps me to see in a photographic, way.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So that's why go ahead.
So you are talking the, because before using Fuji's, like you said, you're using the DSLR cameras and so on. So we are talking 35 millimeters in terms of full frame equivalent, right?
That's correct. Yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But still, so let's just, let's have this last minute of gear talk here, because, some of our listeners, I'm sure, will appreciate that as well.
Sure.
So if you put the, what are the other lenses you put on the, on the interchangeable, on the X-T1, X-T2, X-Pro2? What's your favorite different, the second focal length you...
Okay, usually when I photograph with two cameras, and so that would be X100. With 23 or in full frame terms 35 millimeter lens, mm-hmm. and the other camera would be the X-Pro2 with the 56 millimeter lens, and basically mm-hmm. I have two focal lengths, and give me these two and I can photograph anything, and the reason, because my eyes I can switch between two, mm-hmm. But let's remember, people think that photography is something. It's very similar because we all can see, we use mm-hmm. our sight every day. So, but usually we use our sight to complete some task. Let's say we go to work, we ride the bike, and so our observation, our these visual observations, are kind of stuck on the same things. But photography is something different. You need to see the world and see the things that you usually don't, mm-hmm. and that's why it's so important to train your eye in two, three, maximum three kind of points of view. And mm-hmm. very often I see people running with big zooms, especially those that start in photography. Mm-hmm. And it's almost impossible for the eye to see in a photographic way. Because you stand, you zoom in, you zoom out. I'm not trying to criticize people. I know some photographers, they use zooms and they are just amazing work.
Yeah, I was about to say, there's maybe one aspect where, because sometimes people, we are probably getting the same questions all the time. And sometimes there are those instances where somebody is really, looking for, asking about which prime lens he should get. And I kind of, maybe you notice even in the group, sometimes I recommend, okay, if you are really not sure, get a zoom, start shooting for a couple of months, open your library, like you said, after a few months, and have a look what is the majority of focal lenses of your shots.
Yes.
And you will maybe find out what your preference is, what your eye tends to look, tends to work, in which mode, and then go for the much better, prime lens in this range. So maybe this would be the only scenario where a zoom lens could be actually useful.
No. Listen, like I just don't want to get it wrong. You know, I'm not criticizing people that are using zoom lenses. They have like really important place in photography. And in fact, there are some types of photography when you, like for example, wedding photography. Very often, you just have to use zoom lens. Right. You know, so but I'm talking in general terms, especially for those that are interested in mechanics of seeing, and that's my. That has been my actually recent research, and I spend a lot of time thinking about this. And so what I came up with is that if you really want to learn to see, you need to start with one focal length and train your eye to see the world around you this way. And all you do is use your legs and imagination, creativity, And you can do really amazing stuff. So that's the kind of a point I'm coming from.
So let's talk shortly about you. Just started an online, I imagine, kind of photography course or school, right? Where you are teaching how to see, how to look. Could you just tell us briefly about the project?
That's correct. So let me start like saying a few words about, I mentioned a few times the phrase mechanics of seeing, you know, and mechanics of seeing is something that, you know, like you would think that you go, you photograph, and, you know, the whole process is basically you click a shutter button. But in between, before you just grab camera and observe the world around you, and this click, there is a very long entire sequence of thoughts, processes, and actions. And they require enormous intellectual kind of and even physical effort. I was really interested in this concept, and I tried to find out, you know, how you do it, what are the steps that I could kind of teach young photographers? How is it that you go from observation, connection, and to the final click? Because it's a very long and very interesting sequence of events.
Right.
And so that's the project that I'm really involved recently. And in fact, I'm in touch with some really great photographers. I just don't want to mention their names as of right now because, you know, I always like to have permission to do that.
Right.
But probably with time, you know, I will publish my research, what we find out. But this is so fascinating. And going back to your question, you know, there is lots of things on the internet when people can learn Photoshop, can learn some technicalities and how to process images. But I found very little about this very kind of a process of seeing. How can I teach somebody, a new or even experienced photographer, to kind of reboot their seeing, work on these processes, and compose much stronger visuals? So that's exactly where the idea of simplicity in seeing came up. And because I love writing, you know, like I'm one of these people that sit in this little office with his small dog on the side, and I could write all day. And probably, as you notice, my writing is much better than my spoken English, is because I don't speak a lot. We communicate with my wife, usually in Polish, sometimes in English, but I could write all day long. So I started making the simplicity in seeing as a kind of a platform to teach people how to see photographically.
And yes, very fascinating, right? Yeah. And exactly, not so many, you know, offerings like this.
Yes. Yes. This is very important for me, and basically all my days recently for the last a year almost every day I try to research the subject and share my findings. And you know, let's be honest, it's not as sexy as talking about post-processing, technical things. But I think if someone wants to become, it's really serious about photography and seeing and explorations, I think that's the subject that needs to be explored.
I find it very, very sexy, Olaf. I think sexy. I think sexy is an extremely subjective kind of thing, right? So, you know, I will be definitely, you know, I will link to the site, to Simplicity in Seeing. And now once I know that you love to write so much, I know who to get in touch for the future, you know, editions of the magazine.
Appreciate it. Okay.
Thanks so much, Olaf. We will have to slowly be wrapping up. I'm always aiming to 40 minutes. Maybe just one last thing, because you mentioned Kasia, your wife, a couple of times, and I know you guys exactly work pretty tight together when it comes to your photographic projects. How does it work? Like, is it do you guys share photographic vision, or are you rather discussing a lot, or how? What's the energy?
That's a really good question. And in fact, like, many people kind of are wondering how does it work. So first of all, we don't fight for cameras because we have a few of them.
That's already a good prerequisite for a good.
Yes. So, but I will be honest. Without Kasia, I wouldn't be where I am today. You know, she's my kind of motivator and my greatest judge, you know. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I as probably everyone, I'm kind of going into this camera gear stuff, and she always pulls me out and just shakes me and tell, like, okay, Olaf, what are you talking about? Because you see, I noticed that women and Kasia, she doesn't really care about, like, you know, raw pixels, all this things, and mm-hmm. all she cares is visuals, painting with light. So very often we just sit down and discuss our images, but we discuss this for very honest point of view. You know, it's not like, oh, Olaf, such a beautiful image. You know, that's the worst thing that somebody mm-hmm. can tell me. She would look at the image and she would say, you know, Olaf, this is such a crap. And you know what? I really appreciate it, because, of course, she doesn't say that, but she could really state in a very interesting terms why she thinks this image is a not good image. And mm-hmm. I think I really, my photography could kind of go on and get better over the time because this honest feedback.
I think it's a blessing to have someone like this just next to you, you know, and somebody you can trust, somebody whose visual, you know, taste you believe, right, and can base your future decisions on. Mm-hmm. This is wonderful.
Yeah, definitely. Yes, I'm really blessed with this, and I have to say we enjoy those conversations that sometimes go on for hours together.
It's very pity I ask you, right, if she could join us on this podcast, and I hope in the future we can record maybe another one where you guys
Kasia, join me together. Yeah, Kasia could not join because she actually has a full-time job. Not associated with photography, so that's why she couldn't join. Okay. And I'm kind of all in, so that's why.
Right. Let's try next time. You know, we organize another time, and because I absolutely love talking to you. So
thank you so much.
Yeah, my greetings to Kasia, and we talk hopefully soon together.
I appreciate it. Yes.
Olaf, in the end, so could you give our listeners, one URL address where they should start if they want to explore your photography and all your projects?
Well, most of my writings I publish on olafphotoblog.com. So it's olafphotoblog.com. And this is kind of my platform for sharing my photography and my research, my thoughts about photography. And as you pointed out, Tomasz, I started this platform It's called Simplicity in Seeing, simplicityinseeing.com. Mm-hmm. And that's a subscription-based platform when I'm sharing my kind of in-depth research regarding photography, seeing, explorations, observations, all these topics that are not that technical.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wonderful. I will link to all those resources on the website and on, in the show notes for this episodes. Olaf, yeah, what should I wish you? I wish you success with your endeavors now. I wish you wonderful photographs and, you know, and I wish you not arriving at any, you know, final destination.
You know what? This is so good, Thomas. You know, like, I also like to thank you. Like, I know I'm taking the time, but I have to compliment you because I have been observing you for the last few years. And what you did with Fujilove is really remarkable. You know, you just took this community, this passion for the X-Series cameras, and you created such a great thing. And you know, this is really remarkable, and I can only imagine how much work it cost you because, you know, like, I see people are visiting and commenting, and some people want this, other people want something else, but I have to say this is a lot of work, and I compliment you for this. And as I wrote in one of the comments, I think you should be really generously rewarded for this work.
Olaf, thanks so much. This podcast is supposed to be about you, so let's. But thanks so much. Yeah, there were some sleepless nights. You know, there are some sleepless nights now and then. And but as you said, if the passion would not be there, it all of this would be just not happening, right? So and I think the same applies to everything what you are doing and achieving. So. Yeah, thanks so much once more. Wonderful. We could talk for hours. I can see. I hope to visit Canada once, and for sure you are on my, you know, first destinations to visit.
Please.
Thanks so much, Olaf. Have a great day.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Fuji Love Podcast. Stay up to date with Fuji Love. Follow our Facebook page and join the Fuji Love Facebook Readers Group. Head over to www.fujilove.com for all the necessary information. Take good care, and we will talk to you next time.